It is Locked On Jazz for the 3rd of July. Reports that Derek Favors has signed with the Jazz, DeMarcus Cousins with the Lakers. But is that the most important move that happened in the West? And a quick look at what happened in Summer League last night. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and a look behind the curtains. The today's show brought to you by The Store. 4th of July needs. Stop by The Store, 6200 South, 20th East. They've got great setup. You get a bunch of items that are pre-marinated for you, so that you can grab those and throw them on the barbecue for the 4th. They've got all sorts of sweets and cakes and everything else. Should be a great day to go head over to The Store at 600 South 20th East. Today's show also is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. All right. The moratorium is still in effect, so nobody from the Jazz have confirmed or will comment on the reports that the Jazz have re-signed Derek Favors. The report from Shams at Yahoo is that it's a 2-year deal with the second year not guaranteed, and a team option, and that the first year is at $16 million with incentives that can reach to $18 million. What's unknown about that then, and I can't get the answer to it, is whether on how much whether or not that's actually easily met incentives that count against the cap or not. That's not any information I was able to receive because nobody can give any specifics or confirm anything of that sort. So that's the only just kind of that note on that. Let's talk about kind of where that negotiation was, where things sit, because it makes – this deal just makes a lot of sense. Shams reported it was a 2-year, $16 million to reach 37. So here's what's important that I think we talked about a good deal, which is that you're asking a lot from Derek. He knows a lot. There's a lot of positives, and this is what we talked about prior to the negotiation, the whole time, is that from a Jazz standpoint, you have to respect what you're asking him. So you're asking him to play, in a lineup where in the past he hasn't at times always finished. You're asking him to play maybe out of position in a position that has a tough task. Yesterday we ran down who the power forwards are in the Western Conference. And you're really, I think when everybody talked about, the strength of the team is the team and the sacrifice last year, that maybe the person you're talking about as much as anyone is Faves. And so that to me, I think had to be, or has to be, wherever we are in the process, respected by the Jazz in this conversation, and understanding that in a weird way, if a team like the Lakers, who have a big gap in the middle, like the Warriors just did, or someone of that sort comes to him, they're asking a different ask with a different history and probably in one in which he may know less about any of the warts that might exist. And those warts aren't anything wrong with the organization. Those would be warts just from the demand on playing time. And so I think it sounds as though again, I have not had any of this confirmed, that's very much an approach the Jazz took on this. An understanding that they were negotiating from a different spot. This is important that Derek Favors stays. The Jazz are better with Derek Favors. Derek Favors is an incredible talent. Derek Favors, when healthy, is a top 30 talent in the NBA, probably. I mean, he's a former number three pick. He's the number one rim finisher in the NBA. He gives you a viable lineup if Rudy gets hurt, as we saw. He gives you viable 48 minutes. The Jazz have the best 48 minutes last year at center of any team in the NBA. He gives you a pick-and-roll punch that is important to the offense beyond Rudy. If you look at the Jazz pick-and-roll numbers last year, by the end of the year, Rudy's had greatly improved. But Rubio and Favors were 0.94 and Gobert was 0.92. Mitchell and Gobert actually, by the end of the year, were better at 0.92 and Favors 0.9. Ingles and Favors were 0.96. Gobert and Ingles were 0.94. So when you look at those numbers, you're seeing that the Jazz, you know, that is the Jazz basically are a better, slightly better offensive team when the pick is being set by Favors. Actually, for the whole year, they actually came out. It's very interesting. For the whole season, they came out about dead even. And Favors set 2,400 picks. Gobert sent 2,800. So it also shows a versatility in the two. From a defensive standpoint, on the pick and roll, Gobert's defensive numbers are obviously better than Favors' defensive numbers, and we've talked about that a lot. But then what happens if you switch? So if the screen defender switches, and according to some of the Second Spectrum data I pulled up from Pelton and some of those things, Pelton's in town, and some of those things, you end up with, you know, the guy who switched the most for the Jazz last year was Favors. The Jazz didn't do a lot of switching. I would guess the Jazz may have actually done less switching than just about anyone. But the Jazz, because of their two bigs, but they're going to probably evolve a little bit in that area. And I would guess that, you know, that's where Favors gets more important. Favors switched 136 picks last year. Ingles switched 123. So Favors switched the most picks of anyone in the league. Or anyone of the team. By the way, the most in the league, no surprise to anyone, on switching a pick was Clint Capella. And should not surprise anyone at all. And not even close. I think it was like he had 930-something picks that he switched and compared to the next guy in line that was, you know, far fewer. So, you know, kind of just an interesting little, I guess, note there for you. I don't know if you thought that maybe that wasn't actually interesting at all. But I think that's why another reason why it's awfully important for the Jazz to bring back Derek Favors in that regard is that, you know, here's a guy who can do some things that are of where the game is heading, probably at a rate better than some other people in the league. And I think that's an important one to keep an eye on. The Jazz last year, just because I'm now curious, were middle of the pack switching. 865. The Rockets switched 3,000 picks, and the Warriors switched 2,600, and Cleveland was next at 1,800. Oklahoma City was next at 1,500, and now with their new lineup, going to be able to do it all the time. And then I think the other one that's really important on this Faves thing, if it turns out to be accurate, is the reaction of the players. Right, you saw Donovan, you saw Rudy, you saw Joe all send out tweets, and that's where the strength of the team is the team. And that's this group has a collectiveness. I am not a big believer that you expect the whole thing to roll back the same way. I think things change in the off season, but I think at least we're seeing that there's an importance to the togetherness, and then it all goes back to where we started with Faves on kind of this idea of what you're asking out of him, and that because you're asking these things out of him, and the team now is supporting, and all these guys are there, that backs up that message, the same messaging, what's out there. And it's interesting. I think, you know, I don't know what his marketplace was, but there are some teams right now that need a center, and some have cap space and some don't, but some, the ones that don't have cap space, have an interesting offer at the mid-level exception. And we just saw what, you know, at some point these guys both have made enough money, and they're in a circumstance in which they will bypass. Today's show brought to you by The Store. All right, 4th of July tomorrow, has to have Mudslide Cookies, because Mudslide Cookies every day, right? We've talked about Mudslide Cookies every day. But I think also go to The Store. You can pick up pre-marinated barbecue ribs. They've got incredible packets, whether it's the new, on their new locals area where they have the new cotton candy set up from a fun local company that's making cotton candy. You can get huge growlers of kombucha or cold brew, or get all your beer, whatever you need. They're a great beer selection if you're looking for that for 4th of July in the left hand, over on the left-hand side. The chips are amazing. Pick up the salsa and the pico de gallo that they make right in the back, right there for that local connection. 6200 South, 20th East. If you're deciding, you know what, I want a brand new barbecue, the Cottonwood Ace is right around the corner. They've got the best Traeger lineup of anyone in the state. In fact, it's basically a Traeger showroom. Check it out at Cottonwood Ace. Also, all your other things you might need for the barbecue taking place. So that's at The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Stop by today. Pick up your Mudslide cookie would really be for the now. And then you can pick up the rest of the items as for tomorrow, and maybe even leftovers for the next day. So please check it out. 6200 South, 20th East, The Store. You'll feel that local feel. You'll love what's going on there. Let me see if there's, I got an email from, I always get my emails from them. They have fireworks, barbecue equipment, supplies, Traeger products, mentioned all those things. The Lollipuff is the, they have some sparklers, the great cakes. Oh, I forgot Cake de Fleur. That would be incredible. Great lineup of things over at Cottonwood Ace. Pre-packed fruit packages if you're going through. They have a Cavita kombucha special, 2 for $5. And their world-class smoked meats are also there as well. The great local section will have Pop's Pickles, Douglas Coffee, muffin mixes, Bandit sauces, and, of course, the great June pies. The big news that rocked everyone is DeMarcus Cousins signing with the Warriors. I got it. It's unbelievable. What I don't understand is some of the reaction. Like, so this is Adam Silver's lost the league. I'll never watch the league again. This super team is garbage. Like, no one offered DeMarcus Cousins a contract. The reason DeMarcus Cousins is available is because no one offered him a contract. Not for any other reason. New Orleans didn't offer. The Jazz didn't offer. According to Mark Spears of The Undefeated, DeMarcus Cousins had no offers on the table. Coming off the Achilles, being problematic, no one wanted to pay him. And so his choice at that point was to take a mid-level offer, which he didn't have, or a $5 million offer. A 6'11", 270-pound guy coming off an Achilles tendon who's been moody at best at times, who's inefficient at times, who dominates the ball, doesn't always play inside of a team concept, is possibly just a $5 million player until he proves he can be something else. Like, that's real. That's what he got paid. And he went to the Warriors. And from my standpoint, great. Because the Warriors were the best team in the NBA by a good margin when the day started. With the Trevor Ariza deal, they're the best team in the league by a margin when the day started. And now they're adding a guy who's really good offensively. Let's not dismiss DeMarcus Cousins and who he is as a player. I'm not a fan, right? I wouldn't have wanted us to offer him that contract. But he's really, really skilled. He's actually pretty efficient offensively, so he's a positive pack player. But he uses 22 scoring opportunities a night. Now, is he going to take? He's not as good an offensive player as Steph Curry. He's not as good an offensive player as Kevin Durant. He's not as good an offensive player as Klay Thompson. All right, so Draymond Green used 10 scoring opportunities a night. He can use two or three of those, and they're better. JaVale McGee used 4 scoring opportunities last year. Okay, we're at like 7 now. Maybe he uses one of Jordan Bell's and two of Zaza Pachulia's, and they're a little better than those. But where are the other 10 coming from? And what about his ball stopping? And what about the fact he doesn't run back on defense? Okay, he's brilliantly talented. He helps their defensive rebounding. He throws outlet passes. They might be able to run a little bit more with him. And it's worth the gamble from their standpoint. If he becomes a pain in the ass, they just cut him for $5 million. So why do they care? From their standpoint, absolutely. But why do we care? There's a chance it screws them up. I don't know a lot about their internal team dynamics, but it sure looks to me that Draymond is the off-the-kilter one who's got all this energy and nuttiness and makes him brilliant. And the two calm ones that seem unfazed by anything growing up around the game are Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And then there's Kevin Durant, who everything I've ever heard about Kevin Durant and every action you've ever seen from Kevin Durant is one of a follower. Durant seems to be a follower. And at times during the year, it was pretty clear to me that he probably followed Draymond Green, and at times that locker room, instead of being 2-1, became 2-2, and then was button heads. And in my outside opinion from 30,000 feet, without knowing anything, it looked to me as though that was part of the reason why Steve Kerr all year long was like, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, was because that way he could keep everyone calm. And the second part is that's what David West was talking about after the year when he said things were nice. Well, now it could be 3-on-2. Right? Draymond and DeMarcus, who are tight, get together, lead this pack. Kevin Durant follows that. Now it's 3-on-2. Like, there's a chance it screws it up. The move, if I'm a Jazz fan, that I'm paying a lot closer attention to is what the Pelicans did. So the Pelicans just basically traded Elfrid Payton for Rajon Rondo and Julius Randle for DeMarcus Cousins. I think DeMarcus Cousins and now they probably have to find a backup center because I don't think you can play Julius Randle and Nikola Mirotic together, but there's some element where this might be the right answer. Nikola Mirotic and Anthony Davis now will play more together, which was a great combination for them this year. Julius Randle coupled with Anthony Davis is a pretty nice combination. And Rajon Rondo was not an efficient offensive player, but Elfrid Payton actually was pretty close. Elfrid Payton doesn't have the pizzazz that Rondo has, but just on fundamental use of an individual possession, he's a better player. He's a better offensive player. He might not create as much for his teammates, and he probably wants to use more possessions. Rondo only used 8 possessions per game, and frankly, last year they were pretty close to each other in their efficiency, so it's not as though this is some mammoth difference between the two. But I think if I'm a Jazz fan, I'm far more interested in what happened in New Orleans, where I think they got better. Payton uses 13, so it's immaterial. Drew Holiday, who had a great year last year, was just truly great, and maybe just with his wife going through brain surgery in years past and things of those natures got himself settled and allowed him to have that great year, now can go back to playing off the ball. So they start Elfrid Payton, Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore is a good defensive player, Nikola Mirotic and Anthony Davis with Julius Randle coming off the bench. I don't know who their backup center is. unless they think Chick Diallo is going to be able to do it. And they're a little weak, or Mecca Okafor again, I don't think so. And they're a little weak in some of their depth, but I think I'm far more interested in how much better New Orleans got than I am worrying. I think there's a chance that DeMarcus Cousins can screw it up, and the only thing, the reason that that doesn't happen is because they can cut him. If he really starts to screw it up, they just cut him. Thunder added Nerlens Noel, giving them some depth. Prior to that, Jeremy Grant was their center. That's an upgrade. I'm not sure I think that the Warriors got better. They were already great. In fact, you've just added a little piece to their mix that might be combustible. Where do the Jazz stand money-wise and what we see in Summer League? Final two discussions of the day. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. Murdoch family is one I've gotten to know. I sat down, Adam Chase a while back sat me down with the Murdoch family. We sat around a table. Adam impressively knew every single one of their names because there were a lot of them sitting there because it's a family-run business through and through, whether it's Tyson, who I saw last night over from Murdoch Chevy. Congratulations, Tyson losing a little weight. Looking good. Congratulations to Tyson. His lovely wife's worrying about whether or not she should eat the gelato. That's the silliest worry I've ever seen. That woman should be able to have any gelato she ever wants her whole time. She looks great. And Tyson, no gelato for you. No, I'm just kidding. Tyson's doing a nice job, looking skinny. Anyway, side note, back over to Murdoch Hyundai and Blake at 4646 South State Street. First, you got the Murdochs, the no-regrets philosophy of making sure that they can control everything they can to give you the best experience you can. That's what we've experienced since we bought our Santa Fe over there. And then you got the great lineup. The new Kona is in. That's the small SUV coming in anywhere from $22,000 to $24,000. You've got the Tucson that's a little bigger. The Santa Fe, which we just purchased, we got the three rows of seats. If you're looking to do a little fuel prices are going up. I was in California. It's $4.50. Fuel prices are going up. You want to deal with that. The Ioniq Hybrid. The Ioniq Hybrid. There's 13 of them in stock. They're just terrific. So don't just go automatically buy the Prius. Go check it out. They have one on stock right now for $22,830. They have another one at $22,874. They've got a hatchback one at $22,997. So great price, and it drives just terrifically. That's at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. By the way, the Utah Jazz, congratulations. This is incredible. The Jazz have 8 season tickets left for next year. Doesn't mean every game's a sellout. They limit the tickets to make sure that you can still get in. But 8 season tickets for all of next year. If you want to get season tickets, by the way, you probably should make sure that you... excuse me. That you go out and grab 8 season tickets. Tell them you heard it on Locked On Jazz. Let's do it. Let's sell the final 8 season tickets for the Utah Jazz today. That'd be great. I told Chris Barney I'd do this for him. I just didn't tell him I'd do it today. So we'll sell the 8 season tickets. Call 801-325-2999. That's 801-325-2999 for Utah Jazz season tickets. Tell me here on Locked On Jazz you want one of the 8 final Jazz season tickets for the season. All right. By the way, season ticket, they also have some cool programs. If you're not, ask them about this, about if you're not going to go to a game, you turn your tickets back in, you actually get food vouchers for future games. So it's pretty... kind of a cool deal. So, that, you know, I don't want season tickets. I'm only going to be able to go to 25 of them. Well, you'll probably give away 5 or 6, which is a great luxury to have to give to people. And then from there, you can have the next. You can turn them back in. And then when you turn them back in, you get food vouchers for some of the upcoming games. I don't know the details on that, but you should ask about it. Last night, we saw Summer League action. I thought the guys all looked jittery. Jaren Jackson just made a ton of shots. This is probably a weird comment on my end. Jaren Jackson was by far the best rookie out there because he hit all these shots, but I actually didn't see a lot else other than three-point shooting. His defense is really good. Offensively, I didn't see a lot else. You know, we didn't see him put the ball on the deck. We didn't see him drive yet. These are all things he'll develop over time because he's going to be just terrific. And so I mean, he'll be really, really good. And but that was a great – he had the debut, obviously, of the day for the Grizzlies. He and Marc Gasol will work well together. He had two block shots in 23 minutes. He did have – only had three rebounds, no assists, no steals. So there wasn't a lot else. He took 13 of his 15 shots from three, and eight went in. That's why he had a great night. Like, he's not going to hit 8 of 13 a great deal. I thought Omari Spellman of Atlanta looked good. He went 1 of 6 from three. But the story of the night really was just that none of the other top level draft picks had a good game. Trae Young went 4 of 20, 1 of 11 from 3. The air balls are a little unnerving on his end. Makes you nervous. Grayson Allen did not shoot it well last night. He got some good looks and figured out where he's getting looks, but didn't hit him. 4 of 16, and then we saw the same thing. Lonnie Walker went 3 of 16. I don't know that all three of them play tonight. Sometimes teams sit out those guys, don't want to play back-to-back, coming right back out of the chute. And so, therefore, we'll see. Allen did add 8 rebounds and 7 assists and a steal, which kind of matches to what I suspected I would see out of him. I don't know that I think the minutes played are right, by the way, just to let you know, because they're off on the bottom number. In a 40-minute game, there should be 200 minutes played, and there's only 192. So I'm not sure that Grayson Allen's 17 minutes is the right number. I think it's a little more than that. I thought he looked fine. I'm not going to make huge – the same way I'm not going to go freak out about how – Peyton Aldridge looked, and I also just generally am not going to freak out about Summer League in any way. Lonnie Walker didn't make off-the-bounce shots in college, and so why would you suspect that 2 weeks later he's going to suddenly make them in this setting? He's going to have to learn that as a skill and become a better shooter. There were plays around the rim where you saw his athleticism, his ability to second jump. He had a defensive play where he just suffocated someone, and he looked really good. Derek White should look that good. Derek White spent a year in the NBA. He looked really, really good for San Antonio. I thought Nas Long looked good for the Jazz. He spent a year in the NBA. He kind of has a vibe to him. Kellen Martin for the Jazz, worth keeping an eye on. The guy scored 2,000 points at Butler. He's just a scorer. And you could just see that, at least from what I was watching, he seemed more comfortable than anyone in being able to try to figure out how to score and get some opportunities. George Niang was solid last night. He's a really versatile player. I feel good about his chances of making the Jazz roster just because he's versatile, can do a lot of things. If somebody got hurt and he had to go play 13, 14 minutes, I think you'd be fine. He's almost like a Joe Ingles Pormé. He's not quite as good a handler, but he's evolved his game, which was a down low game at Iowa State out. And I thought Tony Bradley looked different. Which is good. You know, he blocked 4 shots. He's not supposed to be a big shot blocker. He doesn't have a vertical lift, but he has those long arms, which means his positioning's better. He rebounded well. His 4 of 11 shooting, I think, is a little misleading. He just missed a lot of tap-ins. And maybe that's getting bumped around. Maybe that's going too fast. But I thought he looked different. Like, you would hope that a year later he looked different, and I thought he did. So good outing there. But I'm not going to overanalyze the Grayson Allen thing. I do think the 8 rebounds and 7 assists, ability to fill out a box score, is a little positively eye-opening. And I thought his assists were good. I thought that he came over the left and the right on pick and rolls was good. I thought that he creates both going left and going right was good. I thought that he was playing with an advantage a bunch of times and took advantage of it to create things for other people was good. He didn't get to do that at Duke, though that's going to be the big change for him. I thought when he drove into the basket, he got suffocated like almost every rookie does when they go to the basket. So no big surprises there. That is Locked On Jazz. Hope you have a great day. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll be back on NBA TV at 5 o'clock today. Locked On NBA is available for you as well. And there's a bunch of great stuff along the Locked On Podcast Network with all these free agent moves. So feel free to go listen to any of the other local experts on the biggest stories. It is the Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.